The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
My goodness, what a wonderful life it must be to be an athletic director for a major university and like UAB. Mark Ingram, as you can see, he's got a t-shirt on. He's got palm trees behind him. We, of course, do this show called the UAB Director's Chair. We do it every single week. You can hear it 5 days a week. You can see it as often as you like on our YouTube channel. And increasingly more so, more people like to see the show because we never know where Waldo's going to be. Where are you at right now? It's the off season. Yep. Are you on vacation?
Well, I guess you could call it that. Yeah, I'm in Marco Island, Florida. My wife's brother runs a company that their parents started up in Cincinnati, Ohio, called AE Doors. They sell garage doors, windows, and he's got a work function down here. And he says, "Hey, why don't you come to Marco? We can be here for the week." So Amy, her sister and brother, and the other spouses, the six of us are here, no kids, and we land, Tony, on Monday night, and a tropical depression sets in. It has rained sideways every day.
Yeah.
It has been dark, windy. It's like 30 mile an hour gusts. It's windy right now. This is the best weather we've had all week.
Yeah.
And it's just not raining, you know, but it's super gray. And what's kind of hilarious is how there's moms and dads. I mean, there's families here on their vacation. Mm. And you can tell them, they're just like, "We're not going to sit in this hotel room." And so they've been out at the beach, man.
Sure. Like,
pouring rain. I don't mean not sunny. I'm talking about like you're looking at the wind and the sand are blowing at you.
Yeah.
And they're out there. So,
well, you know,
God bless them.
Well, you know, for a lot of us, a week down at the beach, the only time we get a chance to go, I know that you like to spend some time down there. I'll be spending some time down there in July, and it's like hurricane or no, we're going down. I mean,
I'm here today.
What do they say? I'd rather sit in a hotel in Florida than sit at home, twiddling my thumbs.
People say that. I don't say that, but people say that. But I mean, the same deal. I'm here. And I've been saying to Amy, I'm like, "I'm not going to sit in the hotel room. I'm going to sit out in the rain under an umbrella or whatever." And there's some tiki hut structures out on the beach, kind of built in.
Yeah.
And a couple of days ago, it was raining. And I grabbed a chair from the restaurant, and I just went out and sat underneath the tiki hut and just watched the ocean. And
there you go.
There's like two families out there with their kids.
So have you ever wanted to be part? Have you ever wanted to see a hurricane come on shore? That's something I've always wanted to do. Obviously, I'd like to take my pick and say like a Category 1. I don't want to be down there for a Category 4 or 5. But I always wondered, like if I'm staying at a hotel right on the beach and there's a Category 1, am I good to go?
No. Listen to me now. My parents lost their house to a hurricane when I was in college.
Okay.
They were living in the coast of North Carolina, and there were two hurricanes kind of about a week apart, Bertha and Fran. And this is in the, mid-90s. And, about 4 feet of water went through the ground level of their house, and the wind lifted all the roof materials off. It didn't take the structure to, like, knock it down. What it did was water went through the basement. It's not a basement because, you don't really have a basement, but the ground level, and then, which is garage and some stuff like that. But the wind took the roof materials off, and then the rain over 10 days or whatever just saturated the house.
Oh.
So it was like sort of destroyed from the inside out.
Yeah.
And then my parents would describe, like, after they were allowed, they evacuated and they went to about 30 miles inland. And when the Coast Guard would allow them back, the National Guard, there was just all their stuff all over the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And you're picking up your belongings from all over the neighborhood and that kind of thing. It's just wild. And some other people who did stay said it was the most terrifying thing they'd ever done. They were just glad to be alive. They were just terrified the whole time they were at home.
So this is a weird question, but I've always thought about this, and I've always wondered why people don't in this world where everyone gets their feelings hurt and we knee jerk so quickly. Do you have any problems with any sports related teams being named after natural disasters? I think the only reason we don't, we're talking about death and destruction. Okay, good. Well, I'm surprised. I'm not either, but I'm surprised, you know, whenever, you know, we had Hurricane Katrina, I do remember several people were like, you know, why do we have the Miami Hurricanes? Why do we have a team named after such a devastating storm that actually takes lives away from us? Why are we allowing that? And I realized that God gave a thing. Yeah, I just was curious. Yeah. All right. Well, it's great having you on. We got a couple things we want to get into here. We'll talk some classic rock and roll coming up in just a few minutes. I want to ask you, do you know what this baby Gronk story going on?
No, tell me about it.
All right. So there's this 11-year-old kid out of Texas, and evidently he's got a very overzealous father. This reeks of the Ball family a little bit. And evidently this kid is being recruited because he looks like a baby Gronk. He's huge for his size. He's 11 years old. Yeah. I don't know. He's like 6'3" and he weighs like 175. I mean, the kid's a monster, right? And he looks like Gronk. Gronk, recently, I guess as of yesterday, he said this kid's been reaching out to me like 400 or 500 times a day, and he's going to have to do a cease and desist on the kid. But evidently the kid, and I don't know if it's real or not, but evidently he's getting a great following on social media. He just, had a commit to, Texas Tech, and he was on, his Instagram account with the head coach of Texas Tech. Now he has deferred that. Now he's going to move on to Missouri, and it's somewhat of a joke, but it's somewhat kind of real because the kid really plays ball. And someone is coming out saying, you know, this is exactly what we've asked for. This is exactly what's wrong with college sports.
Yeah.
The money's got involved in it. Now we have fathers pimping out their 11-year-old sons.
He's
11 years old. He's obviously got a huge size. I mean, I've heard these things where, you know, the University of Alabama or USC will offer like an eighth grader a scholarship, I guess, something like that. But first of all, have you ever had a coach that saw a kid at that age and thought, there's no way this kid can go wrong? So let's start, you know, what are the rules as far as reaching out to an 11-year-old?
There's a lot that can go wrong. Yeah, a lot can go wrong, right? I mean, when you don't have anything to work for because you've already committed somewhere, how hard are you working between now and then? You know, I think kids can get hurt badly, unfortunately. They can get lazy. They can stop growing. You think they're going to, you know, they project they'll be this much bigger or whatever. Their body can physically change. I mean, especially at 11, you know, he still hasn't gone through puberty yet. This kid could be a ton bigger, but he also could, like, his body could change in a negative way too. A lot can go wrong. I think it's crazy.
What are the rules of reaching out to it? Like a kid that young, and just say, hey, I'm Mark Ingram. I'm the UAB athletic director. I've just noticed you. Yeah. Just want to keep in touch with you.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't do that. But when these kids come on our campus, if they come to our camps, then we can have conversations with them that are in more depth.
Okay.
I can't, but the coaches can.
Do you see any?
I can meet them. You know, I can meet them and I can talk about how great our school is. You know, that kind of thing, and sort of brag about Birmingham, that kind of thing. But I can't get involved in like a real recruiting conversation with a kid like that.
Something I also saw, Mark Ingram, he's the UAB athletic director. Go Blazers. You can go to UABBlazers.com, UABBlazers.com for their website. They've got everything on there, all their sports and stuff. And of course, we're from this Saturday, we're recording this show, I think we're 10 weeks away from college football, about 70 days away. Wow. So we're getting really close. I know it's going to be here before you know it. Evidently, a study out of Arizona State has found out that realignment is sparking carbon emission issues over college football's realignment. Evidently, because there has been so much movement, and a lot of this has to do with the Pac-10 going to the Big Ten, and because of all the extra travel we're going to have, they're saying that, and I didn't even realize that colleges were having their carbon emissions, I didn't even realize they were looking at those. Evidently, they've been looking at carbon emissions for every college team out there to see how much travel they do. And they're saying that this could actually double. They're saying it can actually double for some of these schools. So as dumb as that is, I don't want to go that route. But I do want to say how much more difficult it is, because it used to be so geographic. Now it's not geographic anymore. I remember when Missouri joined the Big Ten, the SEC, people were like, what are we doing with the Missouri in the SEC? Now we have teams in the Pac-12, in the Big Ten. It doesn't matter where your school is. It just matters that you're in a big conference. Can you just talk about the travel that's going to be, and do you see any problems with travel in the future with these schools having to cross country?
Well, not emissions. I mean, that's for people that think about that. Yeah. To think about. But it's the travel was greater for us, you know, in the American than it had been for Conference USA. But the footprint is almost identical. If you look at the footprint of Conference USA and the American and the Sun Belt, it's almost like that, stacked like three pancakes. Mm-hmm. And so it's not about the distance. It's the manner in which we schedule conference games. So Conference USA, in an effort to save money, we play basketball, for example, men's and women's basketball on Thursdays and Saturdays, conference game, Thursday, Saturday. Okay. So we would go, let's say, and you had, they called it a travel partner. We would go, let's say from here, we would go to Southern Miss. We go there on Wednesday. We play them Thursday night. Friday, we go up to Ruston, Louisiana Tech, play them on Saturday, and then come back after the game. So that's three legs of travel. Here to Hattiesburg, Ruston back. Three legs. Now, what we do, because we have better television exposure, television says, hey, we want you to play on Tuesday, and then we'll play again on Friday, and then we'll play again on Sunday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and next week. You're just out and back, out and back, out and back. So instead of the play two games and only three legs of travel, you play two games, you have four legs of travel. Mm-hmm. So there is more travel, right? And it is more expensive. And volleyball is the same way. We used to do stuff where we would try to play these weekend series and you know, trying to find travel efficiencies, and we don't do that anymore. But that's also part of being on TV more too. So you're getting more exposure, but there's a price to that.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, we've grown up, and I guess are we kind of throwing out the window the whole college, the whole amateur college athletic, student athlete. Are we throwing out the student athlete thing? I mean, I remember we couldn't add games because, you know, they had finals, and we couldn't add another game because it was going to be too late at night and they wouldn't get their studying done. And we couldn't add finals because we couldn't do a bowl game here because it was going to throw off their schoolwork. Is that totally out the door? We don't care about that anymore.
No. We don't play on finals week.
Yeah.
So in basketball in December, we don't have games finals week. It's an off week. And so our finals week is different than, I don't know, Florida Atlantic maybe or somebody. So we might have games against somebody the following week, but FAU and say South Florida, they don't have games because it's their finals week.
Yeah.
But we avoid that as best we can. I will say that online school, online classes, there are more options than ever before. And the ability to even participate in a class that's not set up as an online class, but participate in a recorded lecture and watch it or participate by Zoom. That has made academics easier for student athletes, particularly in sports where the travel hasn't changed at all. Like take golf, for example. We always talk about football and basketball, but like the worst sports in terms of travel are baseball and golf. Baseball, I'd say, is worse because they have more games. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a golf tournament is a three-day event. It's a practice round and 2 days of competition, plus the day before the practice round, travel day, and the day after, depends on where it's at. You might go home right after the tournament, or it's a long way away, you have to spend the night and come back. It could be like a five-day trip.
Yeah.
Easy. And it's always, that's not new. It's always been that way. We just don't ever, you know, when we make all these rules, we only think about football and basketball, which is short-sighted, but that's, you know, what it is.
Sure. Mark Ingram, he's the UAB Athletic Director. This is called the UAB Director's Chair. We've been doing the show on Tony Curry Radio for a couple of years. It's a great show. It's our most listened to show. And of course, it's got a really nice footprint, not only in the Southeast, but also the United States. We can have X's and O's, and we will. We have a very special show with Trent Dilfer and Andy Kennedy, of course, respectively speaking, the college football and basketball coaches for UAB. We'll be starting that show a little bit later on in July, early August. Yeah. And you're going to be part of that show, and I'm going to be part of that show. It is going to be unlike any podcast.
You got this fancy studio, man. You're really going uptown with this thing. I still have to occasionally have to go live from, you know, wherever.
Dude, and that's what I love about your podcast is, I mean, sometimes you've been sitting in a hotel lobby at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. You've been for basketball tournaments. I love this stuff. I love the fact that I don't know where you're going to be. I'd like to do my show from outside the studio on occasion. So I think it'd be kind of cool too. So
I keep waiting for some kid to come over here and swat my phone down
I was doing a show called Mission Minded with the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We do a lot of giving back through Tony Curry Radio my son obviously is summer break, and so my kids I don't have an on-air light outside my studio I work out of my home, and so I have to tell my kids, hey, listen, if the door is closed, you can't come in the bedroom. And of course yesterday they just totally forgot. Next thing you know, it's just like you just have to pretend you don't see it. Next thing you know, you've got yourself a great, great little blooper there. So it's great stuff. All right, UABSports.com, UABSports.com. This is really easy to get into, a classic rock. I know we talk about best guitar solos, and of course, we've talked about some of the fans. By the way, there's a brand new, I wanted to bring this up. There's two things that I want to bring up. There's a brand new AC/DC 50th anniversary watch that has become available. Ooh. It will only set you back $9,000.
Oh, is that it? There are Rolex? What is it?
No, it's from Frank Mueller, who is a Swiss Army or Swiss Army watch guy. He was in the Army, but he made watches for the latter part of his career, and he's making these beautiful watches. Okay. They're only $9,000, and there's a waiting list to get on them. There's only 50 available.
What a deal.
You can check that out. Also, there is a guy. His name is Jose Juan Marcos. He is the foretold owner of Morgan guitars than any person on the face of the earth. He's got guitars from everything from Queen to Metallica to AC/DC to Jimi Hendrix to Eric Clapton, and he's opening up his own hotel and his own Barcelona Museum of Guitars. You can stay at the hotel. I thought this would be really fun for you and me, maybe to take a weekend and go to Barcelona, Spain.
That's a great idea.
And check out all these guitars and stuff. So just a couple of things. If you got some extra money, it's burning a hole in your wallet, you can get after it. It is Father's Day coming up. Idea. I know you as a father. I hope you have a wonderful Father's Day this weekend. But a lot of people are like, ask Mark, because they know you're a family guy and you have spent a ton of time with your kids outside the office. Yeah. But they want to know, and I actually had a couple emails on this, what are Mark Ingram's favorite dad songs? And they also want to know, and I think this is really poignant, and I hope you have one, but is there one particular song that you and your father really enjoyed listening to together?
Well, how would you define a dad song? What's a dad song?
Father's Eyes from Eric Clapton, Cats in the Cradle from, Cats in the Cradle is a great song. What are you talking about?
It's a great song, but it's not Father's
Eyes from Eric Clapton, Living Years from Mike and the Mechanics. Any song that has to do about a father and son or a father and his daughter.
Okay. All right. I need to think about that one. My dad's a huge Beach Boys fan, and I always liked the Beach Boys and then other beach music songs. You and I have talked about beach music before. The Carolinas have this kind of their own genre of music, Carolina beach music, and there's people like the Tams and Chairman of the Board. People like there's these bands that aren't really that widely known, but if you're in the Carolinas, you know them. And so those bands, and if you go listen to the Tams or Chairman of the Board, you're going to go, oh, I've heard that song. You just don't know who it's very old music. But I'm a huge Beach Boys fan too. And my dad loved the Beach Boys.
There you go. Just some of the songs, The Best Day from George Strait. Luther Vandross had a song called Dance with My Father, which was just a huge hit. Natalie Cole, Unforgettable was about her father. Father and Daughter from Paul Simon. The Temptations, My Girl, was a song about a father and his daughter, which I did not know. Queen had a song called Father to Son, which was a fantastic song. Papa Don't Preach from Madonna. The Temptations, Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Papa Don't Take No Mess from James Brown, which was fantastic. Dad's song, Song for Dad from Keith Urban. Mike and the Mechanics, The Living Years, which I brought up. Tupac Shakur had Letter to My Unborn. George Strait, Love Without End, Amen. Stevie Wonder, Isn't She Lovely? That's a great father song. Oh, that's a great song about that.
Well, I'll say this. There's a I'm going to call it a bar because I don't think it's a restaurant, called the Bluebird in Nashville. And they have songwriter night. And I don't know what day it is, one night a week. And when I was in college, one of my teammates from Nashville, we went home and he took us there. And in fact, Amy and I were dating and she was with me. And songwriter night, they sit these four people facing each other in the middle of the room, each with a guitar or a piano and a microphone. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I would say, well, in, 1988, I wrote this song and, Crystal Gale, I've written, maybe you know it. And so this guy goes, he plays Don't It Make Your Brown Eyes Blue, right? And like, really, that guy wrote that song? Well, so they kind of go around there and they just go around in a circle, each giving their, singing their song that they wrote, but somebody else recorded. And this guy wrote this song for Reba McEntire called The Greatest Man I Never Knew. Yep. And the story is about how you clearly get that her dad had died and she goes into his closet and she starts pulling out shoe boxes and stuff, pictures and things she had no idea he had ever been a part of or done. And I actually talked about it. I did my grandmother's, my mom's mom, I did her eulogy and I talked about that a little bit relative to her because my grandmother was this little bitty lady and pretty quiet, very faithful woman. But she was in the army and she had been a nurse and she had just done a ton of stuff that, when you just saw her, in her later years, she's just a little old lady that you just thought, I guess like a lot of people, you just have no idea what they've been through. And, she like anybody of her era grew up in the Great Depression and through World War II and all that. And, pretty fascinating, really, when you think about, the kind of life that they led. But that's a great song by Reba McEntire, The Greatest Man I Ever Knew.
We, my father and I, obviously, and I was on Fox 6 earlier today talking about fathers. And I said, I think that fathers really stepped over the last 20, 25, 30 years. My dad didn't change diapers. My dad didn't throw a ball with me. He didn't. I mean, he just didn't.
That wasn't going to be acceptable in the Ingram house.
It was a different generation. He worked his ass off. My mom stayed at home, and that was just the way it was. And we loved him for it. He was the disciplinarian. I didn't see him every night until about dinner time. And so, later on in life, as we got older, he became more and more my best friend. As he was always my dad first, but he also became my best friend, and he was my best man at my wedding. And he's sorely missed, and I miss him every single day. But we'd have these little things where when we'd go out and play golf. Two things come to mind, and I'll just share them with him. And I don't think I've ever shared this. When we go play golf, he would always pick up my clubs, and I would always pick up his clubs around the green, when you're walking off the green. And he'd always take my clubs, knowing that I'd be looking for my clubs, and I always take his clubs, and him knowing that he'd be looking. By then, we had a few pops, so he didn't know. And so we'd always joke about that because by the end of the day, he'd have half my clubs, and I'd have my clubs, it was hilarious. But he was a newspaper distributor. I don't know why I remember this, but it just is so vivid to me. He was a newspaper distributor. And so on Saturday nights, the Sunday paper would come out. The Sunday paper was usually about four times bigger than the daily because it had so many ads in it. Right. And the Sunday paper was, it was the size of your head. And depending on whether it was raining or not, you had to put it in a plastic bag. And my dad had somewhere around 1,400 customers. And so it would take him all of about 8 or 9 hours to drive 10, 15 miles an hour all night long to deliver every one of these newspapers. And so I would help him every Saturday night. He would pay me. Okay. And so we would listen to 700 WLW, the radio station, very, very well. It's still on. Home of the Cincinnati Reds, home of the Bengals, Gary Burbank, Jim Scott. I mean, I could just name almost every disc jockey that was on it. The Doc. I could almost name almost every disc jockey on there. And also Bozo, of course. He does his big trucking show every single night because it's a 50,000-watt clear watt station. It's one of only two stations that are AM in the United States that don't have to power down. So you could listen to the Cincinnati Reds. Like I could listen to them later on this evening. Once it gets dark, I could listen to it because all the AMs power down. And so... there was a 700 WLW and they were news talk, but they play music back in the 70s and 80s. And there was a song from Kenny Rogers called Crazy that came out that was a huge hit. And for some reason, the jock that was on Saturday nights, like at 2 o'clock in the morning on 700 WLW, used to play that song almost every time I'd be stuffing newspapers. And I loved that song, but I was a classic rock guy. I was into Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah. My dad couldn't believe I loved that song. And so every time that song came on, my dad would go over and change the radio station, knowing that I wanted to hear that song, and he would do it on purpose. Yeah. And then he looked over his shoulder and we kind of smiled at each other. And that went on for like a year. And I'll never forget it. It's still to this day, when I hear that song, it brings a tear to my eye. But I think about Crazy. I think about that particular song. For some reason, that is the song. My dad was also really into the blues a lot. He loved Big Bad Voodoo Daddies. He was into swing music a lot. And so he really liked that too. So, well, happy Father's Day to you, my friend.
Yeah, thanks. My dad also liked country music too. And it's funny you bring up Kenny Rogers. Like, who didn't love Kenny Rogers? Mm-hmm. Like, you could be a classic rock guy, and I was, but the Bandit. I mean,
the Gambler.
The Gambler, excuse me.
Yeah, Coward of the County. I mean, come on.
Coward of the County.
I mean, Lucille. I mean, come on. I mean, it was one song after another. And we kind of always hoped that maybe Kenny and Dolly had a thing going. You know, we were always kind of hoping the islands in the stream. You were like, well, didn't you kind of want to see those two hook up, right? You want to see those two hook up, right? And I don't think they ever did.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
But
I mean, we know what they say, but we don't know.
Exactly. But they were islands in the stream. There was something there, man. So great. Well, listen, have a wonderful, blessed Father's Day. You deserve it. I hope your kids get you something super special. No ties for this Father's Day, but I just hope you have a ton of
great homemade
time.
Stuff.
There you go.
I want exclusively homemade stuff. That's my favorite thing to get.
I hear you. All right. Sounds good. And we will catch up next week.
All right, brother.
Thank you, brother. Man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.